Y'all, I am, as he mentioned earlier, grateful to be here, grateful to get the opportunity to speak. And any time that we come here and we lead, whether it's leading in worship or leading in preaching, our desire is for God to show up, for him to obviously get the glory, but for it to be his Holy Spirit that moves in our life. And when you spend a week at the beach with a bunch of kids not sleeping very much, and then you show up to preach, you know and are confident that unless God shows up, unless his Spirit comes, that I've got no chance, we've got no chance to get something out of this morning. And so if you would, as we go along in this service, pray for me. I am sitting here just praying with God for the strength, for the energy, for just clarity on what he wants me to say right now. And he gives me this verse in Proverbs 24. Verse 10, it says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Then he says, rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. And if you say, behold, we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his works? God is just reminding me really the reality of all that he's been doing this week, but how powerful and important the moment is that we get to have. Y'all, God moved in some massive ways this week at church camp. We saw many light bulb moments for students where it just clicked and they finally came to the place where they understood spiritually what God was leading them to do. We had students for the first time y'all come to life in Christ. We as students just understand their need for him, understand spiritually their death apart from him and now life in him through Jesus. And I just can't tell you the joy it was as I sat with one of those students, one of our own students at North Klein, as she described her desire to get baptized and her joy with what the rest of her life is going to look like. She's a graduating senior that is now leaving, going into the world, just so joyful about God changing everything, about now the rest of whatever she's going to live for, it being for him, is just excited about the possibility of what that's going to mean in her life. It was amazing to see many other students publicly proclaim that they are unified with Christ in baptism, that they want the world to know that they are walking with God. It was so amazing. And then finally, we saw students confess things. Students confess things that honestly it would make you just want to cry and rip your clothes apart and do nothing but pray and cry in the presence of the Lord if you knew all of the details of where our students are and the things that they are struggling with. So our students just confess things, whether it be from addiction, that they just cannot quit the things that they're doing, whether it be divorce, just ripping their household apart, whether it's abuse and things that they're going through and shame that's coming with that and everything that's building on top of them, or just the insanely unhealthy social dynamic that our students have to walk every day into with social media, with schools, with the constant fight to be cool, to be okay, to not be the one being made fun of. You know, if you heard the things that we heard this week, you would join me in not missing a day to pray for where our students are and what they're going through in their walk with Christ. But praise be to God, students are coming home this week and living this week not the same way that they went and left here last Sunday, that we got to spend a week in the presence of God and he opened doors for them to see who he really is. And so I just wanted to have a moment that we just praise God and say thank you. Say thank you, God. Because as exhausted and as confused emotionally, as spent as I am ever more clear, never been more clear than I am, that our hope is in Jesus alone, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one can find hope for a relationship with God outside of Jesus. And getting to see light bulb moment after moment after moment this week has prepared me to really introduce to us and teach us the truth that Jesus wants us to see, That at the root of a light bulb moment, at the root of us coming to life in Christ, is us understanding that you must be born again. Jesus is going to teach us that you must be born again. You, not the person you brought, not the person maybe that you came with, not the worst person that you can think of in your mind, not your mom, not your dad, not the person like you. Like I'm speaking to you, like every single one of us in this room must be born again. Must is, it's not optional. It's not if you're having a bad week. It's not if you don't like the way you look. It is a must. It is for every single person here. It is a must that we can't get out of it. It's a transformational thing that happens that changes our very identity. And it's not something that we do. It's something that happens to us. We must be born again. It is new life that only comes through Christ. It's a new beginning. It's a new start. It is a whole new identity. It is this rewiring that has to happen to your heart. And in that alone is when we come into a relationship with God. You must be born again. I must be born again. We all must be born again. Y'all, we're going to be in John chapter 3. Reading a story that John has wrote of a conversation that happens with Nicodemus. So John chapter 3, starting in verse 1. What I want to do is I just want to pray for our time, because my heart is praying for you that you would in this moment enter into a conversation with Jesus, that you would enter into a conversation with him and hear clearly from him what he wants you to hear. Let's pray. God, we need you. God, our hope in this moment is in you alone. God, we pray. God, we pray for you to make your word clear. We pray that we could just jump into this story and see where we are, see where you are, God, just encounter you in such a real way. God, we want to worship you in this moment and pray for your word to be clear, for your Holy Spirit to come and show us, God, exactly what you want us to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. So now, in verse 1, it reads, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. For the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can these things be?' Jesus answered, 'Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." And now in context together, can we read John 3:16 all together? It reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Man, I should make you read like you understand what that verse is saying. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Hope we're not dead to the truth that changes everything this morning. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and the people loved darkness rather than light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Wow, what a scripture, what a story, what a conversation that John, the beloved disciple, is writing. It's a simple conversation. It's between Nicodemus and Jesus. It's a conversation that we're going to walk this entire morning through that I hope you will place yourself in and see where you stand. But Nicodemus, in all rights and respects, the way that we use the term in our culture, was a good person. He was a ruler. He was a teacher. He led the Jews. In their time, he would have been the one that goes to church all the time and just has the physical outside appearance of doing everything right. But spiritually, he was dead. Spiritually, he had never come to life. And he did not have a personal relationship with God. But Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night as he is. And he comes and he has a conversation with Jesus. I don't care how you've come this morning. Maybe you saw this place being built and you've been driving by week after week. And this is the week that you decided to come. Maybe you were invited and to get the person that invited you to stop inviting. You said, I'll come this one time. Maybe you invited somebody and said, shoot, I have to go this week because I invited somebody. Maybe this is your routine. This is your rhythm. Maybe you come every single week, but the truth that I'm going to share with you this morning might bring to life everything and every reason of why we live and do what we do as believers. Y'all, God just wants to have a conversation with us. He just wants to show you who he is. He wants to show you who you are before Christ, what it looks like to not be born again, and he wants to show you what he's done in Christ. And he wants to invite you to respond. He wants to show you who he is, show you who you are before Christ, what he's done, and how to respond. Y'all, Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and he says, you're a good teacher. I love that Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he comes to Jesus telling Jesus who he is more than he comes to Jesus asking who he is. And I wonder if we've come in here, if we come to Jesus, if we approach spirituality with more answers than questions. I wonder if we take God's word and we allow him to just speak into who we are versus us showing up with all of our preconceived notions and ideas of who he is. Do we come this morning in the conversation with more answers or more questions? I pray you'll be open to have a conversation and ask some questions because he came to Jesus like maybe some of us do with the preconceived notion that Jesus was someone that could be a really good teacher. He could give really good advice. Maybe you come and you look at your life as something that could just be polished off. It needs a little bit extra, but for the most part, you're good. That's Nicodemus. He's saying, hey, good teacher, let's have a conversation. Maybe we've come here and our preconceived notion of Jesus is our get out of jail free card. Maybe Jesus, we view him, he's our crutch. He's the person you go to when you're actually a mess. He's for those people. I don't know what it is for you, but I just hope you'll come with the question of Jesus, can you show me who you are? The request, Jesus, show me who you are. Because y'all, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Bible says, God says that no one can come to the Father except through him. That he is the way, the truth, and the life. And what I love about Jesus is he is unwilling. He is unwilling to be your teacher, to be your helper, your guider. He is unwilling to be your teacher until he's your Savior. Until you've been born again, until you've laid down your life and surrendered to him, he's not going to get in the game of trying to teach you how to live your best life right now. Because he's saying you are destined, the verse that we read, you're headed towards slaughter. You're headed towards eternal death. And before you ever let me teach you, let me be your savior. Let me be your savior. I love that Jesus answers the questions we're not asking. See, he knows where we are. He knows where you are. And my hope, my prayer is that clearly whatever part of this message would be incredibly clear to who you are and where you are. See, before Christ, we are like a DIY disaster. How many, do I got any DIYers in this place? Do I got any do-it-yourself? Kind of, I'm going to work on some product. Can I buy a show of hands? Help me out. Am I alone? No, I see a few people. All right, we can talk a little bit this morning. We can have a conversation. So a couple months ago or so, gosh, I've been here for a little while now, my wife and I got to buy a house. We moved over here and got this job. It was amazing, complete God thing. And in doing that, my biggest excitement was I get to start doing some projects, right? And so I'm all excited. I'm like, I'm going to figure this stuff out, and I'm going to do these projects. So the first project I'm going to start small is the laundry room, all right? It's not supposed to look good anyways, so if I butcher it, it's going to be okay. And there was these like huge shelving units in the wall, like in between the studs. And for whatever reason, the guy had left it about a half inch out from the wall, and it just looked terrible. Like the whole thing, I was just like, what could you have been thinking to leave a huge, like, this is miserable, right? It's not flush, it looks terrible. And so I'm like, you know, I'm gonna figure out, it's late one night, I'm getting good ideas, late one night, not good ideas. And my wife's asleep, so I start taking this thing out of the wall, thinking this will be my first project, I'll get to learn, it's gonna be awesome. And I get everything out of the wall pretty successfully. And then realize that fixing this is going to be a whole nother issue than taking this stuff out of the wall. And I don't know if you've had that moment where you've been deep into a project and you realize this is a disaster. There is no way I'm finishing this on my own. My wife wakes up the next morning like, babe, we got a problem. I'm sorry. I'll figure it out eventually. I'll call some help, whatever. But babe, we've got three massive holes in our laundry room that will get fixed. And yeah, that was a great conversation, you know. but it's comical because there's this confidence we have, or at least I have. I don't know if you're like me, but there's this level of us being able to do it on our own. We think we're going to be able to figure it out. That we think it can't be that hard. We'll be able to handle it. And with things of the Spirit, for us to have a relationship with God, we've got to understand that it's a disaster for us to think we can do this on our own. That we have no hope to come to life in Christ apart from Christ. That our good works, anything that we would be able to do, is a complete insult to God when he has paid the price for our sin. That there is absolutely no hope we have in and of ourselves. Y'all, Nicodemus placed his faith in his right actions and doing religious things is the confidence that Nicodemus had in himself, and the confidence that Jesus spoke directly into by immediately saying, you must be born again. You must be born again. And we are a DIY nightmare apart from Christ, needing a new identity rather than a new teacher. See, the message that I quickly got myself into was it was a complete start over. Redo, start from scratch, and I was in over my head. But that's us spiritually. To come to life in Christ is a complete surrender, a complete start over. We cannot do it on our own. We cannot do it apart from Christ. Maybe you're like me when you hear this. Maybe you're like Nicodemus. When someone says you have a problem this massive that you need a start over, immediately we become skeptical. you're like, no, I could just tweak and do this. I'm really not that bad. And I want to plead with you this morning that any amount of sin in your life separates you from God. And there is no undoing the wrongs that you've already done. There is only surrendering and allowing God to come in and give you a new life. That is the only option, the only way is surrendering to Jesus. Jesus is telling Nicodemus, see, Nicodemus is trying to get smart. Nicodemus is saying, look, you're the one being illogical here. You want me to be born again. What do you want me to go enter into my mother's womb? What is that supposed to look like? And Jesus is like, look, don't marvel at what I'm saying about being born again. The Spirit blows. Look at the wind. Look at the wind. You don't know where it comes from, but nor do you know where it goes, but you see its impact. You see its effect. You hear its sound. You know it's here. Some of you this morning, I don't want you to marvel at everything I'm talking about this being born again. You don't have to understand the full picture, but you know what I'm describing is a spiritual life that does not exist in you. And God says in his word, he says that no one can confess Jesus as Lord except by the power of the Holy Spirit. So my desire for you this morning is that you would get to that place, that you would answer that call and confess Jesus as Lord, that the Holy Spirit might come in and give you a completely new life, one that you cannot have on your own. I didn't want to hear a message of start over. I didn't want to hear the message of I can't complete this on my own. Because our mind immediately goes to, but I've worked my entire life. I've done so much to be where I am today. You don't understand, I've recovered so much. Speaking with a student this past week, that was the plea. That was the cry. To come clean, to talk about the things that have happened would mean to uncover the past that we would love to have locked up. No one knows about. But the amazing thing about Jesus is he doesn't just look the other direction from your sin. He doesn't just, hey, let me put a pretty blanket over it. He gives you a new identity. He completely changes you from your sin from the inside out. Your life now becomes unified with his life, and you have access to a relationship with God through him. You have a new life. And it comes through surrender to Jesus. So they get to this point in the conversation, and Nicodemus is like, you've lost me. How can this be? And Jesus is pleading with them and saying, he's baffled. He's like, how you, a teacher of Israel, how have you not known that this has been the plan for forever? That this has always been the case all throughout the Old Testament. It's always been about me making a way. It's always been about me providing for you, not you providing for yourself. He says, look at Moses. Look at the story of Moses when all of Israel was bitten by the fiery serpents and they were in need of a savior. I made Moses put one of these serpents on a pole and hold it up and said, anybody that looks to Moses looks to the snake would find healing, would find life. And any that did were saved. They found life. They were healed. He said, in the same way, the Son of Man is going to be lifted up on a cross, that anybody that looks to him will find eternal life. He said, how do you miss this? This is everything. How could you ever think that it's about you being good enough? It's always been about me providing a way. It's always been about me standing in the gap and doing what you could not do. It's always been about me being your savior. And it's for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life. God wrapped himself in flesh and came in the form of a man, and his name is Jesus. And he did so to save us from the mess of our sin, to save us from eternal separation from God. Because there was no working our way back into this. We needed a savior. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our DIY project is a disaster. We've come short. We failed. come to the point where we have no more hope in anything that we can do physically, but spiritually dead. But God, in Romans 5:8, but God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That while we were still sinners. See, this isn't the pick up the pieces. This isn't the, hey, get the makeup just right and then come to church kind of thing and we'll work on a few aspects of your life. This is, hey, while you were headlong into your sin, wanted nothing to do with me, I went to a cross to be able to look at you in your sin and say, I love you. I forgive you. I've paid the price for you to no longer stay in the place separate from me, but come into a life and a relationship with me. That he would be able to look at you in the middle of your sin and say, yes, I love you and I paid for that. It's why I did what I did. It's why I went to the cross. It's why I lived a perfect life so that I could then give you my life and I would take on what you deserved in death so that you wouldn't have to go through that death. And then that he would be raised to life so that we would have the same hope to be raised to life with him one day. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That we have this truth in God that we have to just simply come to the place of confessing. I love the statement that it's not complicated, it's just costly. It's not complicated what it takes for us to have a relationship with God. It's just costly. It costs us laying down all of our good efforts and striving in the hoping that we aren't that bad and acknowledging we are miserably wretched apart from Christ, that there is nothing good in us that he desired, but that Jesus was perfect. That God would look upon that and be able to redeem us. It's not complicated, but it cost us our life. It cost us to let him be our Savior and not just our teacher. So maybe you hear me talking this morning and you realize and you say, man, I've never come to that place. I've never come to that place where I understood that this isn't about anything that I could do, and it is only about Jesus showing up, Jesus being the perfect sacrifice for me, but Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. And so what we're about to do, the band's going to come back up, and they're going to lead us in a couple songs, song or two of worship, to give us time as a church family to come together and to respond to this truth. That if there's anybody in this room, I plead with you to hear me say, you must be born again. And what that response looks like, what that looks like is you coming and you praying and you allowing God to be your Savior. You surrender in your life and saying, Jesus, I've tried for too long on my own. Jesus, I've tried to do it. I've tried and I failed, and I need you. God, come and make me alive in you. And we're going to give you that opportunity to pray. Deacons and spouses and wives, a few of you, if you would just come fill this front area, we're going to open up for you to be able to respond. And so as they come forward, if we could all close our eyes and bow our heads, I'm going to pray for us and then ask you to respond. God, I pray for the person in this room, if there's anybody, God, that you would give confidence and boldness to be able, God, to be able to respond to the work that you're doing. No one, Lord, no one can call you Lord but by the work of the Holy Spirit. God, make clear how much you love us, God. And now our need is not to figure out better behavior management, but our need is just surrender. It's just surrender to you for being perfect. God, surrender to you to give our life wholly, completely to you, to allow you to rewire us, Lord, and give us new life in Christ. So if I'm describing you in this place, what I want to do is I want to give you this moment. What I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you, if you have never been born again, I just want you, and you want that moment to be right now, I want you to just look up at me and raise your hand just so I can connect with you. So all I'm going to ask you to do is just look up and raise your hand. I just want to connect with you. Just look up and raise your hand. I just want to connect with you. And so what's going to happen in this next moment is we're about to be led into worship. And church family, I want you to be reminded by the work our Savior Jesus has done for us. And I want you to worship Him like this is the good news that has changed your forever. And I want you to be bold. I want you to be bold, and if it's your time, if it's your time to respond to Him, I want you to come, and I want you to let somebody that's down here by the baptistry pray for you.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's Word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.